Jess Bennett is Hawke's Bay Search and Rescue Coordinator. Surf Life Saving New Zealand says it's overwhelmed by generous donations to replace equipment contaminated during its response to Cyclone Gabrielle. Jess, thank you for joining us on the program. My name's Dale. Appreciate you spending some time with us. Tēnā koe.
Kia ora, Dale. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Jess. What actually happened when the cyclone struck, and how did Surf Life Saving New Zealand get involved, Jess?
Our four local clubs, we form a search and rescue squad regionally, and we're supported by the national body, Surf Life Saving New Zealand, to deliver search and rescue services throughout New Zealand. So, yeah, we were called through the police, like we usually are for any sort of search. But what faced us in the East Valley that morning was, something completely different and something we've never seen before. We responded with two teams of 10 people and 8 boats and rescue boats into the East Valley, and that's where it sort of started from there. And following on from that, we went to the Park Fire area and rescued many people off their roofs there also, and then spent many days searching thereafter, just because the total of missing people or unaccounted for people at that time was still in the thousands. So, yeah, it was quite a few weeks worth of searching in the community. And then going into week 3, we assisted with some isolated community shuttles in terms of moving essential food and items across the rivers to Rivington and Dartmoor areas. Just to get those people the help they needed instead of waiting for some helicopter drops. So, been pretty busy.
Good on you, Jess. I guess when you got yourself involved in the search and rescue area, you might not have anticipated how this might affect your own community. What impact did it have on you, those you worked alongside? I mean, these are unprecedented situations, particularly the Esk Valley, how quickly that rose, how dangerous it became, and the way people were tossed from pillar to post, unheralded. So what impact on not just equipment, but on staff, morale, et cetera? How have you worked your way through the challenges, Jess?
We're a pretty tight-knit group, but we brought in quite a few extra people throughout the Surf Life Saving Movement to assist. And I think Surf Life Saving in general, I think lifeguards are brought up from quite a young age to be sort of putting themselves in some risk situations, and often things are a little bit outside the box. So I feel like we're pretty well-trained and resilient to things that are a bit different. However, this was massive. It affected a wide range of people, and it still is ongoing for a lot of people. So our teams, they give to the community already. They love doing that. But I think the main sentiment was that we were just really glad that we could help during that time. So, it's now going into a bit of a different phase of sort of building up some of our resiliency and our replacing our equipment, because it's a really hard toll what we did on the equipment. It's not made for going through silty rivers and all the debris that we're sort of up against in the various floodwaters. So there's a bit to sort of work through in that space. But just looking at what we can also equip our individual lifeguards with as well, just to replace some of their wetsuits and booties that were through the floodwaters as well, that we just can't seem to wash enough to get decontaminated. So,
people have been very generous. It's interesting, isn't it, that here's floods and we're replacing surf life-saving equipment. when people have been very generous, what are we referring to? What's on the to-do or the shopping list for the surf life-saving whānau in your area, Jess?
Yeah, so the basics, really. Just we realised that we probably didn't quite have enough operational rescue boats locally for a large-scale response. So we're going to look to get a couple of new inflatable rescue boats. along with some road trailers to transport them around. Often in the call-out or search and rescue space, we are travelling remotely to the likes of Mahia and Wairoa or down to Porongaho as well. So we realised that our trailers that we normally transport these on were really just sort of made and are utilised mostly on the beach. But when we get them onto roads, especially roads that have experienced the damage that we've seen, more recently, we just need some slightly sturdier trailers. So, yeah, sort of basic things like that. Our radios, the communication systems that went down during that time, and often this is such a big bugbear of ours on the East Coast in particular, because we seem to lose our communications quite regularly around. Well, we can't rely on cell phone, obviously, when we're in the water and along the coastline. We seem to lose that quite a bit. So Surf Life Saving New Zealand has been rolling out a national digital radio platform that we'll upgrade our hardware here, our radio units that we can use to ensure that we've just got enough to communicate with all of our members at any given time. And there's some really cool technology in that. From my perspective, we can ping and GPS trace where our teams are at any given time. So that makes me feel more safe about sending our teams out into some situations, and it also means that we can communicate and then respond a lot better to any situation. So, most of the money at this point has been committed to those sorts of things, and we're just working on a wider strategy of what we would like to just sort of do next. There's lots of things on the wish list. There's always things like that can help, but it's just what we prioritise first, really, and make sure that we're sorted as a region going forward with our equipment.
Thanks, Jess. It almost goes without saying that, you know, up and down the country, people have been impressed by the resilience that's been shown by the community. Our whānau Māori have mobilised in ways to assist, and sadly, it's still being challenged because the weather, as we know, even across the last few days, has been problematic. But nothing binds us together more as communities. It might have done more for race relations than we realise. When we've got challenges that affect all of us, what would you say of the wonderful aspects that people displayed of community-minded activity and action when under a collective threat?
Yeah, and I think people are still doing it really tough out there, and there's a lot of people still rallying around. It's hard to keep the energy levels up for that, and I can understand the anxiety that people would be feeling with the more recent rain events. And we just need to try and take some space for each other and wrap around support and well-being for each other. And yeah, just take it easy, but try and work through all these challenges ahead that people are still facing head on.
Nice meeting you, Jess. Thanks. I'm pleased that the community are rallying again. They've been really generous in their support of each other and indeed of Hawke's Bay Search and Rescue. Thanks for sharing some kōrero with us today on the program, Jess. Tēnā koe.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Tēnā koe, Jess. Thank you. Jess Bennett, Hawke's Bay Search and Rescue Coordinator.